All right, Shavuot, say good morning. Let's begin. We are picking up. Today's daf is Samech Ches. We are picking up on Samech Zayin Amud Beis. Samech Zayin Amud Beis, 66b. And we're picking up in Meretz Hashem at two dots, which are 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 15 lines up from the bottom. A lot to do today. Our shir this morning is dedicated by the Shainman family in commemoration of the yard site of Leon's grandfather, Mark Ben Leib. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, Nesham will have an aliyah. Shkoyach. Alright, so let's begin. So the Gemara says the following. Pshita, va'asra de masalki, va'amar mal, va'amar, lo mistalakna. So we'll say, listen to this. So it says the Gemara, Pshita, it's obvious, va'asra de masalki. Now let's talk about our terms over here. So take a look. Take a look at Rashi. Rashi says over here, wait, I'm sorry. Am I picking up on the right stuff here?
Yeah,
I think with Zion. I'm sorry, both sides. All right, good, thank you. Today's daf is Samech Zion. Good morning. Right, we're picking up, that's right, we're picking up on Samech Vabamabes. I'm sorry. 66b. So it says to me, both says, so we left off, I apologize about that, we left off at Amr of Nachman, which is 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 lines up from the bottom. I apologize. Amr of Nachman, Hashta de Amr Abanan Asmachta lo Kanya. Both say, now that we've established that Asmachta, we spent our day yesterday speaking about Asmachtos, now that we've established that Asmachta is not Kona, Hadar Ara, Vahadri Peri. So both say, that means that at the end of the day, if I go ahead and I engage in an asmachta promise. Remember again, this was the case, just to go back to the case we were discussing yesterday. I lend Reuven money, Reuven gives me a piece of land. He says, if I don't pay, or I say, if I don't pay within 3 years, the land is yours. The case is where the value of the land exceeds the value of the loan. That's an example of asmachta. So the Gemara says now, is saying asmachta lo kanyo, exaggerated promises where people never really have in mind to fulfill it, are not kona, are not binding promises. Therefore, again, in that case, when the land goes back, hadr ar, the land returns back, hadri peri, any produce that has been consumed in the interim goes back as well. Because we'll say otherwise, we're going to have a potential issue of ribis. Lememra, the savar of Nachman mechila betalos lo havi mechila. So we'll say, now here's what's interesting. Is that to say that a mistaken mechila does not work? Now what does this mean? So we'll say, when Reuven enters into this transaction, he thinks that ultimately, again, this agreement, this promise will actually work. Yet we see the Gemara saying over here that when I have to give back, I'm the lender. When I have to give back the land, I have to pretty much give back everything. Which ultimately tells me that a mechila betos, look at Rashi for just a moment, mechila betos, ki hay da mocher savar shu kinuyu lelokeach, umin adin ochal peros, umachal mochal alachila. So but remember, the case over here is that ultimately the borrower in this case thinks that the land is acquired by me, the lender. And therefore he assumes that I am consuming the produce kedasu kedin, in fact, halachically, in a halachically appropriate way. See, even though his mechila about those peros is mistaken, we see that what? Mechila betos lohani mechila. I have a ha'itmar, but we learned, hamocha peros takalachabir, say, if I sell dates, the fruit of a palm tree, if I sell the fruits of a palm tree to my friend, amarafuna achlo ba'olo olam yachalachzer. So we'll say, the case over here is the following. I'm going ahead and I'm selling fruit of a palm tree to my friend before the fruit has come into existence. So the shaila now is, can I renege on the transaction? So Rav Huna says, "Achlo bol di olam yachalachzervo." Right? Until, right, if the fruit have not yet come into creation, then the buyer has the ability, or the seller has the ability to renege on the sale. Mishabol yolam in yochal achzibo. But once the fruit have come into existence, then neither party can renege on the sale. Rav Nachman says, no. Af mishaboli olam yachal lachzerbo. So what Rav Nachman says that even once the fruit have come into existence, the parties can renege on the transaction. So both sides, so understand what's at play over here. What's really the fundamental machlokus over here is adam makne davar shalob ali olam. Can you go ahead and essentially structure a transaction regarding something that is not yet in existence. Rav Nachman says there is no ability to structure something that is not, to structure a transaction regarding something that is not yet in existence. Therefore, again, even once the fruit come into existence, the transaction is voidable because it was made before the fruits came into existence. Now, we'll say, so, but what, for our purposes, what's the necessary part of this sugya? Rav Nachman, modina, but Rav Nachman says, I agree, even though I hold that you could void this transaction because ein adam makne davar shelo b'liolam, you can't convey ownership of something that is not yet in existence. But if the purchaser went ahead and consumed some of the fruit, the seller cannot extract that value, cannot extract repayment from those fruits. Look at Rashi. Lo mafkinar mine, shari kolzman shelo chazar, machal al achilaso. Because Rabbi says, according to Rav Nachman, as long as the seller has not reneged on the sale, he is mochal on the consumption of the fruit done by the buyer. Va'af api shebetos, shelo hayodea shiachal achzor mechilahi. And even though this was a mistake, his mechila was a mistake, he just didn't know that he could void the sale. Nevertheless, what do we see? That mechila betos, forgiveness of a certain amount, even if done mistakenly, is still called a valid mechila. This contradicts what we said before, to which the Gemara says, no, it's not a contradiction. Hasam zvini hacha hava. But also, here's the fundamental difference. Mechila betos, if somebody goes ahead and forgives a certain amount, thinking that he had to forgive it, but realizing afterwards that he could have voided it, in a sale, that type of mechila is irreversible. However, in a loan, Rabbi say, here's the problem. If there was mechila betos, if there was a forgiveness of a certain amount, without understanding that there was a right to void that, you can't allow that to go on. Why? Because that has the appearance of ribis. Amar Rabba, Rosh Etap of Sabach Zayin. Havi Yasivna Kamed Rav Nachman, Uboi Le'osveid. So, oh no. So we'll say, what happened? I was sitting before Rav Nachman. So now this is Rav. Remember, so Rav Nachman was the one who just said before that Lamaisa ain adam makne davar shelo b'liolam. You can't sell something that is not yet in existence. And Rav Nachman wanted to say, however, even though such a transaction is void, before the seller voids the transaction, whatever the buyer consumes, the seller cannot extract repayment for that. Because that's called mechila betos. And Rav Nachman holds that mechila betos by a sale works. So says Rabbi, I was sitting before Rav Nachman, watch this, and I wanted to ask him a question from Ona. Now look at Rashi, what does it mean? I want to ask a question from Ona. This nan, the machzir lo Ona. So Rav says, I was going to ask Kashrim Ona. What's the case of Ona? So we don't remember, we learned the laws of Ona. I overcharge someone. And then what happens? The halacha is, if it's over a certain threshold, I have to return the amount of overcharging. Even though that person gave me that money of his own volition, right? So what do you see from here? That a mechila betos is reversible. That if somebody gives me something because they didn't know that they didn't have to give it to me, or because it was illegal, those amounts are returnable amounts. That contradicts what Rav Nachman said. So I was going to ask him Akasha from Ona, but watch this. Va'odik chazisan Islandus, and he saw that I was going to ask a shavos. Sometimes you can see somebody's body language that they're about to challenge what it is that you just said. So Rav Nachman saw that I was about to challenge his assertion, and he, before I even got a chance to articulate the question, brought a proof to his position from the case of Islandus. So we'll say, an Islandus, bless you, an Islandus is a woman who fails to physically mature or to display ongoing signs of physical maturation, female physical maturation, and as a result, ultimately can't bear children. So says the Gemara, Vahari Ona. So now the Gemara is going to say, well, what was the kasha that Rava was going to ask? Vahari Ona, the Mechila Batosi. So we'll say, yet Ona. Right, if I go ahead, I buy something from Reuven, and I end up overpaying him. So we'll say, that's a case of Mechila Batos. I gave him the extra money, right? Batos was a mistake. It was a mistake. But yeah, what's the halacha? The halacha is, and I gave it to him willingly. The halacha is what? That Reuven has to return it. So you see that mechila betos is chozer. When somebody accidentally forgives a certain amount, and it was, again, it was illegal, so to speak, that amount is returned. V'lo havi mechila. So the Gemara says, and therefore again, it's not mechila, va'odik, and va'odik hazisan, and Rav Nachman responded to me. He said, Islandus. What was the case of Islandus? Hare Eilinus the Mechila Betosi Vahavi Mechila. Rabbi say Eilinus is also a case of Mechila Betos, and yet we see the Mechila works. Rabbi say, now what does that mean? It's a case of Mechila Betos. Watch this. This is not because we learned Hamima Enes. So Rabbi say these are all cases, as we're going to see, of women who are able to go ahead and get out of a marriage for different reasons. So Mima Enes, remember again, the halacha is midoraisa. Father has the ability to marry off his ketana daughter, right? The halacha is, however, if there's no father in the picture, the mother or the brother have the ability to marry off the younger sister slash daughter, but it's only kiddushei dirabanan. Because it's only kiddushei dirabanan, the girl has the ability to get out of the marriage through a very simple process called miyun. Miyun means refusal. I don't want this marriage. And once she does that, the marriage is dissolved. So if a girl does miyun, or a shnia, both say shnia is a secondary category of arayas. We know the halacha is that kiddushin is not tofsin ba'arayas, right? You can't affect kiddushin. You can affect kiddushin with a woman who is asura to you with a laf. So for example, a kohen can marry a grusha. It's illegal, but the marriage still works. But if a man is mekadesh his sister, his mother, another man's wife, so ultimately, again, those kiddushin are not tofsin. Those are arayas. However, again, there's a case of shnia. Shnia are the whole category, remember from our Yavamis days, shnia is the whole category of secondary arayas. Secondary arayas. So Rashi points, we're not going to get into it now, but Rashi gives examples of them. But the idea over here is that kiddushin is tofsin by shnios, but ultimately, again, there's an imperative to get divorced. Va'ailinus. So ailinus is, again, as we saw before, a woman who does not mature physically and therefore cannot bear children. In all of these cases, ein lohen lo ksuva, velo peros, velo mazonos, velo belos. Well, in all of these cases, upon the dissolution of these marriages, these women do not get a ksuva, nor do they get repaid for any of the peros, ultimately, that were concerned. Rashi says, velo peros, nechasim shenafala birusha achar shenises, tiknu chacham shaba ochal peros, lo tiknu tachtayim, shenish v'schadosa. So the halacha is, that at the end of the day, the husband is not obligated to return the peros from her property that he consumed over the course of the marriage. Velo mazonos, nor are they entitled to any type of repayment or reimbursement for mazonos. Velo belos, and if they entered into the marriage with certain property and that property got worn out, they do not get to take the worn out property with them. So what do you see from here? Now remember, leaving aside Mema Enes and Shnia, let's focus on Eilinus. So we'll say what this means is the following. Even though, now, the reason why an Eilinus marriage ultimately falls apart is because, again, we call it a Mekachtos. We call it Mekachtos. That had the man known that this woman was an Eilinus, he would not have married her. So also, like any Mekachtos, the transaction itself is voidable. Therefore, again, halacha lemaisa, in a situation like this, he doesn't have to go ahead and repay any of the items. So he doesn't have to pay a ksuva, but lemaisa, the part that we're really focused on is, he might have been consuming her property for the last week. He does not have to repay any of that amount. What does that show? That mechila bitos is not reversible, right? This is a case of mechila betos. Here, again, she thought this was a marriage. It turns out that it wasn't a marriage. He doesn't have to return to her the peros. So this was Rav Nachman's raya, to which the Gemara says, Velohi, lo ona havyetu yufta, velo eilinus misayelet. And in truth, says the Gemara, the case of ona is not a kasha on Rav Nachman, and the case of eilinus is not a raya to Rav Nachman. How so? So the Gemara says, lo ona tu yufte. So ona is not a proof. No, excuse me. Ona is not a refutation to the position of Rav Nachman. Why? De lo yada di ise ona the machil gabe. So Rabbi say, here's the difference. In general, in cases of ona, let's just take a simple case where the purchaser is overpaying. So we'll say, in those cases, lemaisa, the purchaser doesn't know that he's overpaying, right? In most cases of ona, so the purchaser does not realize that he's being charged ona, otherwise he wouldn't be a party to the transaction. So because he doesn't know what it is that he's doing, you cannot call this a mechila. You cannot call this a case of ultimately forgiveness of the ona amount if he's unaware that there's ona at play. Furthermore, but therefore again, the case of ona is not a kasher on Nachman, below eilinus misayele, and I will say in the case of eilinus is not a proof to Rav Nachman either why. Denechale, the tepok Allah shma di isha. So Bosa, listen to this. From the islandess's perspective, she is happy to forgive the amount of peros consumed by the husband, because even though now this marriage is going to be dissolved, it is in her best interest ultimately to have entered into a marriage. Literally, the shame of ishos, the shame of marriage, should be upon her. As she says over here, the necha, the nepok alish kala, the shma di ishos, vafilu yodas she'en nisuin ritzona lahachilo. Even though she knows that this marriage is not sustainable and ultimately it will be voided, she is happy to allow him to eat the peros, because she had the opportunity to enter into a marital event or a marital framework. So I'll say, because the islandess understands that she's going to have a difficult time, therefore her ability to have entered into a marriage is worth something for her, and her investment in this endeavor, even though it is later on voided, is she's okay with the guy consuming the peros and not having to pay it back. Fine. So I'll say, at the end of the day, the Gemara's discussion of Mechila Betos still is not exactly resolved. So what we have over here is the following. So remember again, so far we have Rav Nachman on record as saying, Mechila Betos lo havya Mechila. That if you go ahead and you quote unquote forgive certain amounts, not realizing that these were illegal or unnecessary amounts, it is not a proper forgiveness, and therefore, again, the other party who had possession of this amount is obligated to return it. Hahu isisa de amr de lahu gavra zil zaben li ara mikrivai. So, let's listen to this. There was a woman who said to a man, she said to a shaliach, "Do me a favor, go and purchase a piece of land from my relative." Azul zabenlam. So, what happened? He went ahead and he purchased it for her. Amrle I havu li zuzi. Mahadras law. And here, let's just clarify this case. So we'll call woman, right? We're going to give her name in just a moment. Her name was Navla. Navla sends a shaliach to purchase a parcel of land from Navla's relative. So the shaliach goes, purchases it from the relative, and the relative says, "Listen, I'll sell it to you, but I just want you to know that when I have money, I want to be able to repurchase the field from Navla." So the seller is selling this field seemingly with the condition that when the seller has enough money to purchase it back, Navla is going to sell it back. So what does the shliach say? Amar lei, atva Navla achi. So what does the purchaser say? An interesting statement. "Well, I'm sure you could work it out. After all, you're mishpacha. Right? Mishpacha could work everything out. Right? There's not going to be any problems over here." So let's say, so what happens? So obviously the kasha that now becomes, you see how this matter escalates, right? So one day again, so sometime in the future, the relative has the money, right? Comes to Navla, and Navla doesn't want to sell. So the shaila is, was this a binding tnai? Was this a binding condition of the transaction? So Amar Barafuna, call at Navla achi. Amr samcha daite velo gamar umikni. So we'll say any time ultimately you have a transaction that says, "Oh, you guys are relatives and you'll be able to work it out," samcha daite. Now we'll say samcha daite means that it is clear that this was the seller's intention, velo gamar umakni, and therefore the seller only committed themselves to the transaction because they felt that they had the buyback clause. But without the buyback clause, they would have never sold the parcel of land. So Bosai, the Gemara is actually suggesting over here that when the seller makes such a tenai explicit at the time of the sale, that lemaisa what? That lemaisa, that tenai will ultimately be binding. Now, Bosai, remember again, there's no problem with ribis over here, right? There's not, even though it sounds similar to some of the ribis cases from yesterday, there's no problem with ribis because remember, what the relative was saying is, at the time that I have money, you agree to resell me back the land. So the sale right now is valid, which means the land is totally yours, all of its peros. But when I have money, you agree to sell it back to me. So no ribis or other associated complicating issues. Ara hadra, peri mai. So look at Rashi for just a moment. I'm sorry, actually not yet. So ara hadra peri mai. So we'll say. So here's the interesting question. So in the cases that we discussed earlier, where the land returns, what happens with the fruit. So we'll say, right, this is going back to our previous cases. So in situations where ultimately, again, we say that you have to return the land. Like, for example, Rabbi, let's go back to yesterday's case. Right, I lend Reuven money. And I say to Reuven, right, if you don't pay me back in 3 years, the land is mine. So we'll say, we've already established that what? Such a case like that, well, according to some, will not work. You'll have to return the land. Even if I have an apotiki, meaning even if I have a claim against the land for my portion of the debt, the land itself in its entirety may not be mine. So if we hold that the land goes back, what about the peros? What about the peros that I consumed? So the Gemara says, ribis ketsutza habaviyotze midyana. So we'll say, do we view this as prearranged ribis? Ribis ketsutza is prearranged ribis. So do we view this as prearranged ribis? And Rabbi says, you know, the halacha is prearranged ribis is extractable by a Beis Din. So if I come to Beis Din, and I have a claim against Reuven. Reuven charged me ribis, and it's prearranged, defined ribis. Beis Din will get involved in that situation and will try to help me reclaim the ribis amount. So, do we say that this is ribis ketsutza v'yotza b'dayanin? O dilma ki avak ribis havu ve'en yotzin? Or do we say that a case like this is what we call avak ribis? So avak ribis is literally like, you know, the dust of ribis. In other words, like a secondary ribis case. The Rebbe said the chap with secondary ribis cases is Beis Din does not generally get involved. Beis Din will deal with ribis ketsutza. Beis Din will deal with ribis d'oraisa. But in secondary cases of ribis, Beis Din generally will not get involved. So Amar Rav Barafuna, Mistabra ki avak ribis havu. It would appear to me that this case of the peros is like avak ribis. Ve'en yotzin badayanin. And therefore, again, it's not really recoverable in a court of law. V'chin Amar Rava, ki avak ribis havu ve'en yotzin badayanin. Rava said also, this appears to be like avak ribis, and therefore it's not recoverable in a court of law. Amar Le Abai, good morning, Mr. Schoenfeld. Amar Le Abai, Abai said the following. Amar Le Abai, Rava, mashkanta mai. But so what about the case of a mashkon? Now, what's the case of mashkon? So we'll say, take a look at the first wide line of Rashi. Mashkanta mai, not the widest ones on the bottom, but the intermediate ones. Mashkanta mai, mishkein lo sada, v'lo kants imo le'echol peros l'shem ribis, el estam, v'yarv asachar. So this is actually a very interesting case. I lend money to Reuven. Reuven gives me a field as collateral. Now, there's no associated condition with that collateral. In other words, there's no statement after 3 years, it's mine. And there's no statement about what I am or not allowed to do with that collateral during the duration of the loan. So what happens? I get the collateral, the piece of land, and I begin to eat peros from the land. He gives me an apple orchard. I begin to go ahead and eat apples. So I will say, so what is the halacha? Meaning, so what is the status of that act of me consuming peros? So my, has some time of my, so says the Gemara, on one hand, perhaps we would say in the previous case that we were just discussing, the reason it's called avak ribis, and therefore not yotzei, but not recoverable in a Beis Din, is because there's no prearranged amount of ribis. So in this case also, I will say, even though one could say, my consumption of the apples is illegal. Why? Why? Because it's ribis. Because I also remember again, I'm consuming apples. And you see, what we'll discuss by the way is the following. If I lend Reuven money, and I have his field as collateral, and I'm eating apples from his field, and I'm keeping tally of those apples, and reducing the debt by the corresponding amount, then what? That's fine, we're going to call that nechaisa. Nechaisa. There's a name for that type, but that's absolutely fine. The difference over here is, I lent Reuven $1,000, I had to feel this collateral, and I'm eating apples. And I'm just eating apples to my heart's content. I'm not tracking the consumption. That is ribis. That is ribis. We'll say the shayla is it recoverable ribis? Because what we're now seeing, and we'll get into this more in depth, is ribis ketsutza, defined prearranged ribis, is recoverable in a court of law. Avak ribis, which is like the secondary cases of ribis, which you can understand are somewhat hard to quantify, are not usually recoverable in a court of law. It's still illegal, meaning the consumer, the person who's consuming the ribis, is engaging in an illegal act, albeit the diraban or not a doraisa, but nevertheless, it's not recoverable. So in this case over here, where I'm just consuming the apples of the mashkon, so do we say that lamaisa again? Lamaisa again.
Why is that not gezel?
It is gezel. We're not debating that it's illegal. We're a bit debating whether or not Beis Din gets involved in recovering these types of assets. Of course it's illegal. So says the Gemara the following. So the Gemara says, "Hachinami lokasa." Do we say in this case also because it's not defined? Therefore, again, it's avak ribis. So odilma hasam zvini hachahalva. Or do we say the difference is that in the previous case it was a sale, and in this case over here it's a loan? In other words, and perhaps again when you're dealing with a loan, maybe Rabbi will say because the paradigmatic case of ribis is in a loan case, therefore perhaps again even in that case the ribis will be recoverable. So at the end of the day, we'll say, we say that the reason in the previous case that's considered to be avak ribis is because, again, it was not a prearranged amount of ribis. Therefore, again, in this case also, because it's not prearranged, it's also going to be avak ribis. And although it is unequivocally illegal for the person who is taking the ribis to take the ribis, nevertheless, it will not be recoverable in Beis Din. Amar Papi, Avad Ravino Uvda. Supposed to listen to this. So Ravina went ahead and literally Avad Ravina Uvda means Ravina conducted himself in a certain way. So this is talking about a case of a mocher, of a seller, who went ahead and redeemed his field. Right? That's Avad Ravina Uvda. So you had a case of a person who sold the field and the seller redeemed the field. V'choshiv v'apik peri dilo kiraba baravuna. And what happens, Rabbi Osai? Look at Rashi. V'chashev kama achol peros v'afkinu mine. So we'll say, interestingly enough, so this case came before Ravina. A person sold his field, and then the seller went back and redeemed the field, and the seller calculated how much the purchaser had consumed over the course of that sale and extracted that amount. In other words, that Rabbi Osai, Ravina was instrumental in extracting ribis, avak ribis, was instrumental in extracting undefined or initially undefined ribis, not in accordance with the position of Rav Baravuna. Good. Amar Marbrei Rav Yosef, Mishmei de Rava, Hamashkanta Ba'aso de Mesalki. So listen to this. If you have a mashkon in a place literally where they remove, now what does that mean? Take a look at Rashi. Ba'aso de Mesalki, B'mokum shenagu lahalbos stam, Umilva ochal peros, V'lo pasak imo b'nechayse kidul kamon. So listen to this case. This is a man in a locale where when let's say I lend Reuven money, Reuven gives me his field as a mashkon. And in this particular locale, I was consuming the fruit of the field of the mashkon without any arrangement. That's where we see that word nechaisa. We're going to discuss it on Amud Beis. Nechaisa means I'm consuming the fruit without in any way knocking down the amount of the loan. But in this particular locale, the loved, the borrower, always has the right to remove the malveh from the mashkon by repaying the debt at any time. We'll say, what we're going to see is the following. There essentially were two different types of loan arrangements. In some places, when you lent money, so and there was a collateral, so the loan was not payable before a certain date. We'll say, now, I know that sounds strange. If I'm a lender, why would I not want to collect repayment on a debt before a certain date? And the answer is simple. Why? Because if I have the mashkon, and I have use of the mashkon, I get something additional over the duration of the debt. That's also called potential ribis. Again, so we'll discuss that. But lamais, again, there could be, we will see, beneficial scenarios where I, as a lender, do not want prepayment on the debt. The debt is owned in 3 years. I have this piece of land for 3 years. Great, I don't want. So we'll say, so the Gemara's talking about over here, in a place, the Lashon over here is Ba'asra de Masalki. Asher de Masalki means in a place where the borrower has the right to repay the debt at any time and remove the lender from the mashkon land. Masalki means to remove. So achol shir zuzi de Masalkin alei. So also listen to this. If the lender went ahead and consumed the amount of produce corresponding to the debt, then what? Then we will remove the lender from the land. Now, what does that mean? Take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, "Achol shir zuzi, kefi masha menachren haperos b'shuk, uba lo v'lefanenu v'tava v'amra eni rotsi shiochal peros siberibis, yashumu peros sha'achol, v'yitlein b'chovo, ilu hava li zuzi lo masalkin li." So let's listen to this. So in a case where the lover shows up and says, listen, right, Reuven is the borrower. He says, silver's head of my land, he lent me $1,000, I'm telling you he's consumed $1,000 worth of peros. So we'll say, so Beis Din will check it out. And if they see that my consumption indeed equaled the amount of the loan, they'll remove me from the land. Remove me from the land. Achal tfei lo mafkina minebo. So listen to this. If I ate more than $1,000 worth of peros, then what? They will not extract that amount of money from me. Look at Rashi. Achal tfei lo mafkina minebo. Davak ribis uvenios. So we'll say that makes sense. Why does that make sense? Because we'll say, remember again, if I consumed more, if I ate $1,200 worth of peros, so what was that? That extra $200 is ribis, but it's avak ribis. It's secondary type of ribis. In other words, it's not ribis ketsutsa. It was not prearranged, defined ribis. And remember, avak ribis is ein yotze b'dayanim. Basin does not get involved in it. It's illegal. It's usur. It's ribis. It's theft. I'm a balaveira, but Beis Din does not get involved in it. So it says the Gemara, Achol tfei lo mafkina minei, v'lo machashvinan mishtar l'shtar. We'll say furthermore again, listen to this. If Reuven borrowed from me two different debts, right? He borrowed a loan for $1,000, for which he gave me the land, and we have another outstanding loan for $200. I lent him another $200. So Reuven's a chacham, what does he say? Silver consumed $1,200 of peros, so $1,000 of that knocks out the debt that was secured by the karka. So you know what? Fine, you don't want to extract avak ribis from him. I have a different idea. What's a different idea? Apply the extra $200 of peros consumption to the other debt. Says the Gemara, we don't do that. However, when it comes to orphans, remember, we've seen many a time, we treat the property of orphans in a different way. In a different way. Suppose I listen to this. When it comes to orphans, if I lent money to the orphans, and what happens, or to the estate, and I ate peros corresponding to the amount of the loan, misalkinale, Basin will remove me from the land, so I can no longer consume any more peros. Aval tfei, mafkinar mine. Oh! We'll say, now we see an exception. Exciting. What's the exception? Normally, we don't get involved in avak ribis, except when Yisomim, when it comes to preserving and safeguarding the property of Yisomim, Beis Din will get involved and Beis Din will extract avak ribis from the perpetrator. Or furthermore, umichashvinan mishtara l'shtara. And when it comes to Yisomim, if the Yisomim owe me another debt for, let's say, another $200, and I consume $1,200 of peros, Beis Din will say, fine, you know what? We're going to take that avak ribis of the land and we're going to apply it to the secondary debt. And now the Yisomim are all paid off towards you. Bless you. Amen Avashi. Hashta da'amet achal tfeilo mafkinar mine. Now that we've learned that if you ate more than the value of the debt, in other words, avak ribis, Beis Din will not extract that from you. Achol shir zuzi, nami lo misal kinan le below zuzi. Then in reality, I was saying, if I consumed $1,000 worth of peros, Beis Din still should not be able to remove me from the land unless what? Unless Reuven the debtor pays me $1,000. Why is that? So the Gemara says, my time, saluki below zuzi, afuka mine havi. Excuse me, afuka mina ha'u, havi avak ribis. Because we'll say, the Gemara suggests over here the following. That lamaisa, the notion, see, this is not our arrangement. We never had an arrangement that I was going to eat fruit corresponding to the debt. Right? That was never our arrangement. Now we'll say, so remember, I, the lender, I'm in the wrong. I want to be clear. It is wrong to consume produce of a field that you are holding at, well, I shouldn't say that so clearly. In this case over here, I had no right to consume that produce. The Gemara is suggesting over here that when I consume $1,000 of produce and the borrower comes along yelling to Basin, quick, get silver off the land. You already ate $1,000 of produce, get him off, Basin will take me off. Says Gemara, just so you understand, when Basin removes me, the lender, from that property, because I consumed $1,000 of produce, Rabosai, that in essence is removing me from the property because of avak ribis, right? But that's not really right, because you just said before that Beis Din does not get involved because of avak ribis. So in reality, if Reuven wants to remove me from the land, the way he should have to do so is how? Is pay me back my debt. He owes me $1,000. Let him pay me $1,000. That will get me off the land. How we settle up on the additional $1,000 of produce that I consume, that's a different discussion. But Beis Din should not be able to get me off the land just because of the produce I consumed. Because that's called getting me off the land as a result of avak ribis. And you just told me that Beis Din doesn't get involved in avak ribis. It tears your kishkas up, these kind of questions. So it says, right? Right? So it says the coffee's coming up. So it says this. So it says, so get ready. So the Gemara says the following. So says the Gemara. So Avad Ravashi of the Yisum Kitan. So we'll say, so again, so therefore the Gemara is suggesting over here that the whole construct we just formulated is wrong. And in fact, again, even if I consume the $1,000 worth of produce, the only way for Reuven, the borrower, to get me off that field is how? To pay me back money. Okay, then we'll figure out what to do with the Avak Ribis. But Lamaisa, Bezin can't get me out because of Avak Ribis, because Bezin doesn't get involved in Avak Ribis. Bothersome. So says the Gemara the following. Avad Ravashi of the Yisom Gitan. So we'll say, now the Gemara tells a story. So Ravashi, so remember again, we have two parallel frameworks. We have what we call the regular framework and the Yisomim framework. In regular framework, the Gemara seemed to say, well, let's go with the Yisomim framework. In the Yisomim framework, we'll say, if I consume the amount of the debt, Bezin gets me off. If I consumed more than the amount of the debt, Beis Din will extract that. You see, this is the one exception to the rule where Beis Din will get involved in Avak Ribis. So the loan was for $1,000. I consumed $1,200 of produce. Beis Din will extract an additional $200. Or if what? If there's another debt that corresponds to that Avak Ribis amount, Beis Din will simply credit the Avak Ribis amount towards that outstanding debt. Fine. So Avad Ravashi of the Yisomim. So also, Ravashi had an episode with minor Yisomim, and he treated them Kigidolim. He treated them, Rabbi say, ultimately as adults. Rashi says, what does it mean Kigidolim? Va'afagav de'ochos shir zuzi, lo misalkin alei, de'kasavra mitchilas achilas and avak ribis, he ve'in koach b'del asio. Oh, Rabbi say, see, here we go. So Rabbi Ashi comes along and essentially passes like what we just said. Namely what? Rashi had a case of Yisomim, and ultimately again, he treated them like Gidolim, which means that even though the lender had consumed the amount of produce corresponding to the value of the debt, Rav Ashi did not go ahead and remove the lender from the field because he felt that ultimately, again, this was Avak Ribis, even for the amount corresponding to the debt. And Rav Ashi was of the opinion, Rav Ashi was of the opinion that even by Yisomim, Beis Din does not get involved in Avak Ribis. Amar Rav Abreid Rav Yosef Mishmei Derava, Hai Mashkanta Ba'asra Demasalki, Lo necho ela b'nechai. So, here we go. So now, therefore, says the Gemara, based on everything we've said, here is the chap. Based on everything we've said, if you live in a place, where it is a common transaction, where it's understood that in the loan market, if I lend money to someone, the borrower, even though the duration of the loan is X, the borrower always has the ability to prepay the debt. Prepay the debt. Right? Well, so, you see this concept, right? Aren't there mortgages like this where certain mortgages you can't prepay the debt? Yes. Right. Correct. Right. So you see this concept. But let's say I live in a place where the nature of the loan market is a borrower always has the ability to prepay the debt and get back his collateralized field. I'm also saying, in a place like that, lo necho ela b'nechaisa. The only way we allow a lender to consume produce, Rabbi says, how, is what's called nechaisa. Nechaisa means what, Rabbi say? Literally, nechaisa means a lessening. What it means is you, lender, could consume whatever you want, as long as you understand that what? Everything you consume reduces the debt. In other words, which is another way of saying, any payros you take is part of the repayment of the debt. Rabbi say, now we will see the chap of the nechaisa, is the following. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Basra de Masakil and Mechal Peri Ela Benechaisa, Sheinakilom and Achov, Dover Kotz of Lashana, Denir Kamochal and Abosai. I just want to make you understand this. The Nechaisa setup is still beneficial ultimately to the lender, because we will see later on. You see, we assume the chaisa means what? Quid pro quo, right? I lent Reuven $1,000, and what happens for argument's sake? Let's say every single apple is worth $1. These are really good apples. Every apple is worth $1, so then I could consume up to 1,000 apples. We will see the chaisa doesn't always work that way. That sometimes the chaisa worked is that a certain amount of produce was valued at a discounted amount. So meaning, I could consume a relatively generous amount of produce, but still have a good part of my debt left intact. We'll get into that later on. But the idea is that if you are a lender and you are going to consume produce from collateralized property, there has to be some type of arrangement where consumption of produce lessens your debt. Otherwise, you're in ribis territory. But we'll say, listen to this. In reality, shouldn't even consume produce like this, with an achaisa arrangement. Why not? Well, say, take a look at Rashi. Uliskadesh af bemutrolo. So Rabbi said, Talmud Chacham, because he represents Torah, has to conduct himself in a way that is above and beyond reproach. So therefore, again, even in this case of Nechaisa, he still should avoid this type of transaction. Here's the difference. People don't always know that I have a Nechaisa, set up. So if I'm a lender and people see me consuming produce, people have no idea what the arrangement is over here. So therefore, again, with stam a person, Rabbi say, okay, just because someone doesn't know my arrangement doesn't mean that I can't have a legal arrangement. Talmud Chacham, Rabbi says, obligated to hold himself to a higher standard, recognizing that people look at the Talmud Chacham for ways to conduct themselves. If people see the Talmud Chacham holding on to collateralized property and eating fruit, then they don't know Nechaisa, not Nechaisa. They may draw erroneous conclusions that even without a Nechaisa arrangement, ultimately this type of setup is permitted. Therefore, the Gemara suggests that the Talmud Chacham should stay away from a Nechaisa arrangement. Let's say Talmud Chacham is going ahead and lending money. So how can he lend money, hold on to collateralized property, and still use collateralized property? Meaning, what arrangement can he have to be able to use collateralized property? So the Gemara says, Bikitusa. He could go ahead and use a kitusa arrangement. So we don't know what that is yet. We'll see. Hani chalman dharma kitusa shaya. So that makes it according to being who says kitusa is permitted. Eleman dharma kitusa asira ma'ikalamira. We'll say, according to being who says that kitusa is asir, what is there to say? The itmar, kitusa pligi yurav acha v'ravina. We'll say, when it comes to kitusa, there's a... Bachlokis Ravakan Ravino. Chad Amar Kitsusa Sharia. One says Kitsusa is permitted. The Chad Amar Kitsusa Isira. And one says Kitsusa is Aser. So very nice. Heichi Dami Kitsusa. By the way, what is Kitsusa? The Amar Lay, supposed to listen to this. The case of Kitsusa is a case of where the Malva says to the Lova, the lender says to the borrower, Ad Chamesh Shanin Achilna La Belo Nechaisa. For the next 5 years, I'm going to consume from this field without any diminution of the debt. So for the next 5 years, I have the use. Obviously only works with long-term loans. For the next five years is just a random amount, a random number of years. Right? I have the right to use this field unencumbered. We'll discuss why this is not true. I have the right to use this field for the next 5 years, below nechaisa. Below nechaisa also means without any lessening of the debt. Mikan ve'elech, after 5 years, shaymina l'cha kulupiri. I will pay you for every fruit I enjoy. So we'll say, let's say for argument's sake, this is a 10-year loan. So for the first 5 years, I can enjoy the field unencumbered. I can get as much of I can use the produce as much as I want. After five years, I will go ahead and repay you ultimately again for every fruit that I use. Okay, ikadam, others say, and here, and I will say, now we will discuss why exactly this works. Others say, any arrangement that's done without nechaisa, without a quid pro quo lessening. When I say quid pro quo, I don't literally mean quid pro quo, but a corresponding lessening of the debt is aser. So what is kitusa? The amalei ad chamish shanin achilna b'nechaisa. So kitsusa, according to the second approach, is the following. For the first 5 years, when I consume produce, there's an echaisa. There's some corresponding lessening of the debt. Mikan ve'eloch, shaymina l'cha kuluperi. From after 5 years, Rabosai, I will what? I will pay you the full value of the fruit I consume. So Rabosai, now we have two different versions of kitsusa. In the first version of kitsusa, the way it works is, it's a long-term debt, let's say 10-year debt. For the first 5 years, I can eat whatever I want of the field, and it does not affect or impact the principal of the debt. After those 5 years, for the remainder of the duration of the loan, I will pay you for every single fruit that I consume. The second version of kitsusa says like this, for the first 5 years, we'll work out some type of nechaisa arrangement. I'll pay you X amount of cents on the dollar for every fruit I consume, and what will happen? That amount will diminish the principal of the debt. After 5 years, I'll pay you full value for every single fruit that I consume. But say, this is the machlokes, ultimately, again, about the nechais arrangement. So says the Gemara, man d'asar b'kamaisa, shay b'basreis. So say, the one who says that the first arrangement is asar will say that the second arrangement is mutar. Right? Which makes sense, because the second arrangement already has some type of lessening of the principal of the debt already in the first 5 years. Man d'asar b'basreisa, heichi shay l'mecha. Rabbi said, the one who says that the second arrangement is going to be asr, ultimately, again, how under what circumstances can a lender partake of peros of collateralized property? To which the Gemara says, Shari ki mashkanta desura. Bosei, the way they would say it is permitted, Bosei, is only the mashkanta desura. What's mashkanta desura? Listen to this. The ksivi ba hachi. This is what it says. B'mashlim shanya ilein, tepuk ara da below kesef. So let's say the way this works, Rashi says, is Hamava Mishtamish im Asoda Bishil Kamashanim, Vizen Nach Nechshav Kiilu Kigavias Bechol. So we'll say Mashkanta Besura, we're going to see, is a case, literally, they call this Mashkanta Besura because this was the normal collateralized case, the normal case of collateral in Surah. So what did they do in Surah? We'll say, I would lend Reuven money. Reuven would give me the use of his field for a certain number of years. And at the end of a certain number of years, then what? We'd call it even. Right? In other words, we would consider as if the debt was repaid. Now, just understand, under normal circumstances, often I, the lender, ended up getting more than the actual value of my debt. It's not ribis rabo, so we know it's not ribis. Why? Because remember, again, it's not ribis ketutza. As we already begin to see, the only cases of real problematic ribis are the cases of where you have defined amounts of pre-arranged ribis. But where you don't have that, it is much easier to navigate the ribis system. Therefore, the Gemara says over here that lamaisa, in situations where people wanted to enjoy peros of land, and let's say the mashkon itself was a valuable commodity, so under those circumstances, if a person did not subscribe to the model of kitsutsa, ultimately, again, they could always use the mashkanta desura. So what's that? We're going to stop over here. I'm going to record the rest of the daf later on because I want to share with you just a thought on the parsha before davening. But understand, we're leaving off now with very interesting ideas, which is we're leaving off now with this idea of if I am a lender and I have collateralized property, under what circumstances am I able to go ahead and consume the produce of the property? So now we've seen a couple of different things. We've seen nechaisa. Nechaisa is the ability to go ahead and consume produce and lessen the amount of the debt in some corresponding manner. We've seen kitsusa. Kitsusa means that for a certain number of years, I enjoy some level of unrestricted use of the produce. And then for the remainder of the debt, I have to pay for the actual value of the produce. And now we've seen mashkanta desura. And mashkanta desura is what? Where lemaisa, again, I, essentially, instead of a cash repayment, I get to use the field for a certain number of years and get to go ahead and use the produce. So all these are all different arrangements. We're going to still discuss exactly how to deal with the seemingly ribbous ramifications of all of these transactions. I will record the rest of it later. I'm sure it's a short idea on the parasha. Very short idea on the parasha.